words of Torah this evening should be for Refuah Shleima, for... I just heard news from Yerushalayim, so anybody needs Refuah Shleima, should have Refuah Shleima. And Torah should be for an extra level of Shmirah of the Jewish people. Hashem should fulfill the words of our Tefillah, Shomer Yisrael, that Hashem guards the Jewish people wherever they are. Holding on to the letters of the Aleph Beis. We've come to the end of the letters. And everything that we're saying tonight should also be a tefillah, that we come to the end of something. So we have to believe that that's ma'orer in a certain way. That's ma'orer in a certain way, the end also. We come to the letter Tav. So we're thinking about and we're feeling and we're living with the idea of ending something, so Hashem should also bring about a good ketz. He should bring about a good end for the Jewish people. That the world should be fixed in a good way. To usher in the time of Bila Hamavas Lanetzach, death should be swallowed up from the earth. And move on to a time when we can use our kochos to give to other people, to build bridges between people instead of attacking one another and not being able to live properly with one another. So come to the end of the Aleph Beis, and it's hard to believe that it's been a year and a half since we started this journey. And to begin before we can end with this, we can begin with this, but just a certain sense of Hakaras HaTov to all of you for joining, and for those who have been listening all along and joining us on this journey. You know, I'm not sure I would have had the patience to sit and talk to a tape recorder to make these shiurim, to spend the time that it takes to prepare the shiurim. That's for sure. Tzaddikim say that Torah that a person teaches barabim, Torah that a person teaches in a public way, is not in the zchus of the person who's teaching it at all. No one should make the mistake of thinking that at all. But it's the zchus of the rabim which helps the one who's trying to bring these ideas into the world to say something hopefully which is emistic, and something which hopefully I know personally I've gained a lot in terms of personal avodas Hashem, my personal midos, Torah, tefillah, everything. Studying something which is so basic but shapes really our entire lives, and it's with a tremendous sense of humility and hakaras hatov to all of you for allowing that to happen, even though she's not here, but to Mrs. Goldstein, obviously, for opening her home together with her husband. And often their children, for opening their home and making their home a place of Torah, and for inviting us in to try to connect to the children who came into the Beis Medrash and taught amazing things about the Aleph Beis, who learned amazing things about the Aleph Beis. So thank you very much. So all along, as we've been studying the letters, we have tried to always track down sometimes the number, sometimes the shape of the letter, most of the time the word that the letter means. Each letter is not just a letter, but it's a word. And the letter Tav, the last of the letters of the Aleph Beis, is no different. It can be analyzed based on its numerical value, based on its shape. We'll start with the name. See, when we're talking amongst friends, we usually call it the letter Tav with an F or a Fe. But the truth is that the Sfarim spell the letter Tav either Tav Yudvav or Tav Alevav or just Tav Vav. And the word Tav Vav appears in a Pasuk in Yechezkel. Pasuk says in Yechezkel, Vayomer Hashem Elav, Hashem spoke to Yechezkel saying, Avor b'soch ha'ir b'soch Yerushalayim. Vasvita tav al matzchos ha'anashim, ha'ne'anachim v'ne'anakim, al kol ha'to'ivos ha'nasos b'socha. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu instructs malachim, messengers, to travel throughout Yerushalayim, to travel throughout Yerushalayim and to place the letter Tav on the metzach, on the forehead of all of the people who are walking around groaning and sighing about all the abominations, all the difficult things that are going on in Yerushalayim. The people who stand up for what they believe to be emes, what they believe to be true, who are nosei ba'olim chaverim, who are nosei ba'ol with their friends, who feel the pain of what's going on in Yerushalayim, who feel the pain of Yerushalayim herself. And Hashem instructs these malachim, these messengers, to put a tav, which literally means a sign. The word tav means a sign. But to place the letter tav, according to the way that Chazal understand it in the Gemara and Shabbos and Daf Nun Hay Amud Aleph, to place a sign, to place the letter tav on the forehead of all of the tzaddikim as a sign, as a shmira. A shmira of protection. And this is the instructions that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives to these malachim and Yechezkel is able to overhear in Perek Tes. However, the Zohar tells us, this is really clear from a number of Maamar Chazal, that it was not only the tzaddikim who received the taf on their foreheads, but that everybody in Yerushalayim received the taf on their forehead. The letter taf was painted, was etched onto the forehead of every person in Yerushalayim during this time of Yechezkel HaNavi. And going back to that passage in the Zohar that we've studied together so many times, that when Hashem wanted to create the world, when Hashem wanted to create the world, all the letters were stimen, they were hidden. V'trein alfin shnin ad lo bara alma havim mistakel kutshabrichu. For 2,000 years before Hashem created the world, Hashem was staring at these letters. V'ishtasheya behu, and He was playing with them. We've mentioned many times, if Hashem could study the letters for 2,000 years, so then we could study them for all eternity. But finally Hashem decided to use those letters to create everything that we know to be. From the table that we're learning at, to the lights that are allowing us to see, to our very selves. Everything in the world is created from the letters of the Aleph-Bes. And so each of the letters came to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and leading the way, of course, was the letter Taf. Sharis Os Taf L'Me'il Bereisha. The letter Taf decided to go first. And she said, Amra Rabon Alman, she said, Master of the Universe, Naicha Kameich L'Mvari Be Alma. It would be proper, it would be fitting for you to create the world with me. Da ana chosama digushpinka dilech emes. Because I am the letter which corresponds to your seal, to your gushpinka, which of course is the word emes. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu's seal is emes. Va'antiskaris emes, and I the tough am the letter of emes. Through me you are called emes. Amr la Kadosh Baruch Hu, so Hashem says back to the letter Taf. Yos ant vezacha ant, you're so beautiful and you're so pure and so meritorious. El leis ana kedai lemvari be'alma, but I can't create the world with you. Haol va'ant zimna lahavi rashim al mitzchin de govern mehemenin. Because you are going to be etched onto the heads of the faithful ones. Dekaimu oraisa me aleph yad taf, as a sign of the fact that you were faithful and you kept the Torah from aleph to taf. Ubrishimu dilach yimosun. And those who do not merit to have in ink the taf put on their head will have a taf, like Chazal say in several places, a taf of blood, of dam. Va'od de'ant chosemes de'maves. You are not only the last letter in MS, but you're the last letter in Mavas. The letter Taf, even though you're so beautiful and that you're truth, and through you I am called truth. Afalpikein, because you're connected to this world of death, there's something final about the letter Taf. So I can't create the world with you. And the Zohar says that Miyad, immediately, the letter Taf left before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Our Gemara in Shabbos, on Daf Kuf Dalet Amud Aleph, which really doesn't tell us anything different, but I couldn't, last year, I couldn't go back to that Gemara. We've quoted it so many times. There's something so special about it. So for one last time, we'll daven together. The Gemara in Shabbos and Daf Kuf Dalet Amud Aleph. Amri le Rabbanan Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi. Asu dardiki ha'idna lebe medrasha. The children came to the base medrash. V'amru milida afilu b'yemei Yoshua ben Nun lo itmar kavatayu. And they were saying over things that even since the days of Yoshua ben Nun, we never heard anything like this. Aleph Bez, Aleph Bina, Gimel Dalet, Gomel Dalim. Tough MS. When we come to the letter Tough is MS. And what we've tried to develop over the past few weeks is to show how the difficult aspect of the letters, which ultimately caused them not to be chosen as the letter of creation, are somehow redeemed through the positive quality that the letter comes and attempts to speak to Hashem and to say, choose me because of this good quality. And perhaps we could say that Hashem understands that these negative, so to speak, qualities in the letters are not negative, as we've been developing the past few weeks, but that any negative quality in the letters and any negativity in our life is merely a misunderstood positive trait. The Russia could be redeemed. The Shin of Sheker could be redeemed in Tefillah. When you come to the letter Taf, so there's a certain finality, there's something deathly about the letter Taf. And it would seem that somehow the MS of the letter Taf comes and redeems the Misa of the letter Taf. So try to understand. From the very beginning, Chazal are always hinting to us that somehow Emes and Misa are at odds with one another. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin and Daf Tzadi Zayin Amud Aleph, Amar Rava Mireish Hava Amina Leika Kushat Ba'alma. From the beginning, I used to think that there's no such thing as Kushta, there's no such thing as truth in the world. The Maharal says about this Gemara that this Gemara is Kashe Ma'od, a very difficult Gemara. And that certainly what we're about to read is not supposed to be taken as a simple story. At first, Rava said, I didn't think that there was something called Kushta Ba'alma. I didn't think that there was truth in the world. Amar li, but they told me, some Rabbanon told me that there was someone named Rav Tavos. Some said his name was Rav Tavimo. If you would give him all of the spoils, all of the treasures in the whole world, he would never change his words. He would never speak lies. He would never say sheker. Zimnachada, one time, he came to a certain town. And the name of that town was Kushta, which of course is the Aramaic for truth. He came to the town called Truth. The Maharal says this is not a town, as should be understood. V'lohave mishani b'diburayhu. And in this town of Kushta, nobody ever lied. No one ever was mishana diburim. V'lohave meis inish mehasam b'lo zimna. And it was known that in that town, no one ever died before the proper time. Everyone always died at a ripe old age. No one died early in the town of truth. Because emes and misa seem to be opposites. Or we could say that emes somehow seems to be sweetening the din of mace. This struggle between life and death and truth and falsehood plays out in the most remarkable way in two archetypical souls that we're all familiar with, the characters of Esav and Lahavdol Yaakov Avinu. Rivka Yemin was told in source number 5, Vayomer Hashem, La Hashem said to Rivka, Shnei Goyim Bevitnech, you will have two children. You have two children that are in your stomach. Ushnei Lu'umim Mimayech Yifaridu. From your innards will come forth two nations. Two nations that have polar opposite views of the world. Two nations that are twins. And on the one hand seem to be coming from the same source, but are the difference between night and day. The difference between truth and falsehood. About Esav, we find that Chazal say, source number 6, Rabbi Chanina bar Yitzchak Amar veikro shmo Esav. His name was called Esav. Why was he called Esav? Hashav shabarasi b'olam. This is the falsehood. This is the falsehood that I created in the world. And of course, if Esav is Sheker, and Sheker is not Kai, Shikra, Lo Kai, Kushta Kai, like we've seen in the past number of weeks, truth lasts, emes, strong base, the aleph is a strong base, the mem has a long base along the bottom, the tough, two strong legs, shin comes to a point, kuf comes to a point, resh comes to a point, it falls over, can't last. So Esav, the Sfarim say, said about himself, Vayomar Esav, hine anochi holich lamus, v'lama zeh li b'chora. Esav, who is the Shav Shabarasi Ba'olam. It's the Shav that I created in the world, is Holich Lamos. And of course, Yaakov, Titein Emes Li Yaakov, Yaakov is Kushta, Kushta Koi. And about Yaakov, we find the exact opposite, that Yaakov Avinu Lomes. Esav is trapped in this world of Misa because he's tied to the world of Sheker. The Esavs of the world are the ones who are responsible for not allowing the Tuf to be that letter which Hashem created the world with, because they could never understand that even though the Tuf leads a person to truth, it ends up coming out in the way of Misa when it comes to the Esavs of the world. But Yaakov Avinu, who's attached to the world of Emes, Yaakov Avinu Lomes. Person who has Emes, person who lives in the town of Kushta, he doesn't die before his time. He's attached to a world which is Kulo Chai. So how do we understand this? Let's try to understand the secret of Misa and how Tuf is connected to this world of Misa. When a person comes face to face with death, when a person becomes frightened by this concept of death, so there are two responses that a person can have. One response that a person can have is to say, there is nothing beyond, and death is final, and I should probably try to live as much as I can now while I'm still alive, and to take advantage of what I have now, because there's nothing beyond this. Death is final. so to speak, there's no Olam HaEmes waiting beyond this. A famous story about the Alter Rebbe that one time, Alter Rebbe, of course, the first Lubavitch Rebbe, had a number of underground chadarim going on when some of the chevra who were in charge at the time weren't so happy about Jews learning Torah, so they had underground chadarim where children would sit and learn Torah. And one time, the Alter Rebbe was accosted by one of these individuals, and he held a gun to the Alter Rebbe's head. He said, "Old man, you better talk. You better tell me where these chadarim are, where your little Jewish schools are." And the Alter Rebbe, with cold eyes, totally unmoved, looked at this person and said to him, "You know what the difference between you and me is? The difference between the two of us is that you have many gods in only one world. I, on the other hand, have many worlds and only one God. So with all due respect to your revolver, you can't scare me. If God wants you to pull the trigger, you'll pull the trigger. And if not, there's only one God in the world. And even if he wants you to, I'm not afraid, because there's a world beyond this world." The guy freaked out. And needless to say, the Alter Rebbe was spared. He was not, he did not pull the trigger. A person can come face to face with this world of Sheker, of Misa. And the response can be similar to what we find in Yeshayahu. Pasuk says in source number 10, "Vayikra Hashem Elokim Tzvakos. Bayom ahu levchi lemisbed ulekarcho lachag or sak." On that day, people were crying, eulogizing, pulling out their hair, wearing sackcloth. Vihinei, it should have been, that's what it should have been. Hashem sent down that terrible things were going to happen. Beis HaMikdash is going to be destroyed. People better do tshuva. And what should have been Bechi and Hesped, Hashem looked down, Vihinei Sason v'simcha, Harog Bakar v'shochi tzon, big barbecues, Ochel Basar v'shtos yayin, people eating and drinking, Ochel v'shasu kimachar namos. Sound familiar? Eat and drink, for tomorrow we will die. And Rashi says, "Kimachar namus," because tomorrow we will die. Like the Esav of the world who said, "Ani anochi holich lamus, I'm going to die. I don't have a place in the world to come. What do I need this bechor for? I'm not going to see the Beis HaMikdash. There's no tchias amesim." Rashi says, "Ba'olam haba hanavim omrim lanu me'esar kadosh baruch hu shaloy lanu chilek l'olam haba." We're already so gone that we don't have a place in this world, we don't have a place in the world to come, so we might as well enjoy what we have left over in this world. One approach to finality and knowing that this world is going to end is to try to make it never end by living in the moment and forgetting about what's really important and just indulging, whether it's helpful to the world, whether it's harmful to the world, whether you're destroying yourself or not destroying yourself. But this is the big lie of the Yetzer Hara. And soon we'll start to bring things together. The big lie of the Yetzer Hara is that he somehow tells us that if we indulge in the moment, because let's ochel v'shose kimachar namos, an attempt to reach this inability to come to an end of something. So paradoxically, that does fill that urge, but it doesn't fill the person with any meaning. Pasuk says, "V'gam ha'nefesh lo timale." The soul can never be filled. Mashal ma'ad over dome, li'ironi she'nasa bas melech, like a simple city person who married the daughter of the king. Yavola kol mashav olam, einam choshvim la klum. He tries to bring her the best stuff that he has to offer. She looks at him and says, "You know what I used to have in my father's palace? You cannot entice me with your simple peasant food, with your city food. I used to eat roasted pheasant, and I used to drink sweet wine, and what you're giving me has no resemblance to what I used to have in my father's palace. Kacha nefesh ilu habata lo kol madani olam inu klumla. The soul can never be filled. The soul can never be satisfied. And every time a person engages in the world without meaning, an empty, conspicuous consumption of just eat and eat and eat, or consume and consume and consume, you're left with this feeling afterwards of a little bit of death because you're not satisfied. Because the soul, as the Medrash ends, Shehi min al-yonim, because the soul is from the upper worlds, the soul is not interested. So now let's begin to understand. Because with that background, we can understand. That's one approach to death. That approach to death could best be summed up by a person who comes face to face with his own finitude, wants to try to save the moment and feels death in every moment, because as soon as the experience is finished, as soon as the drink passes between the place of the mouth and the throat, it's gone forever. And it's a mini death. And because of that, a person feels that whatever they have, they want more. They're not satisfied with what they have. Medrash says in Koheles, Amar of Yudim B'Shem Rabbi Abo, Ein Adam Yotzim in Ha'olam V'Chatzi Tavos B'Yada. A person doesn't leave the world with half of his desires in his hand. Islay Mana, if a person has Meya, excuse me, a person has 100 coins, Boil Ma'avid Yashon Tartin Meyos. So the person wants to have 200. Vin Islay Tartimein, if a person has 200, Boil Ma'avid Yashon Arba Meyos. And the person wants to have 400. So of course, all the Mefarshim want to know we're not such foolish people that we need the Medrash to give us a second example. We understand that if you have 100, then you want 200. If you have 200, you want 400. But we, the Dardiki, who come to the base Medrash to try to understand the Aleph Beis, it's clear to us that Chazal here are hinting to the letter Taf. That a person who has 100 wants 200, but a person who has 200 wants 400. And they stop at 400. Because 400 is the letter Taf. 400 is the experience of a person who's yearning to escape that feeling of machar namus, tomorrow I'll die, so I better try to live it up now. And feels a death of that Taf which was placed on the heads of those people in blood, like the Zohar explained, which is so final, which is so empty. This world of Sheker, of Esav, Shav Shabarasi Ba'olam, Anochi Holech Lamos. So this is the secret of Esav's 400 men that he comes to greet Yaakov with. Next week, Yaakov sends some malachim, Vayishlach Yaakov malachim lefanov, and he meets up with Esav, coming with 400 men, Arba Meos Ish Imo. And these 400 men are the Yeush, are the Tough, are the death that Esav brings because he feels that everything is just worthless. Every time I try to engage a pleasure, it escapes me in some way. Because the nefesh cannot be filled with empty physical pleasure. When Yaakov tries to give Esav a gift, and he tries to give him more, Esav says, Yaakov, Yesh li rav, I have a lot, but I can never have enough. I only have a lot. So you take the gift because, take it back because you could give me more and I'm just going to want more after that. I'll never be satisfied. Nefesh lo timale. The soul cannot be satisfied with gifts of this world. What you're giving me is like the city person, Esav knows. And Yaakov says, no, 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 you take it. I really don't need it. I mamash have everything that I could ever want. I'm satisfied with everything that I have. I'm completely satisfied because everything that I have in this world, and now here's where things start to turn around a little bit. Everything I have in this world, I don't taste death. Even if I have very little. Yeshli kol. Because when I'm attached to the world of Titan Emes Liakov, Kush Dakai, having a little bit of something that lasts forever, it's not a big deal that I don't have so much. Can you imagine if this bottle of water was all I had, and I had, I don't know, a pot of noodles in my fridge, and that was all I had. Some plain noodles and some water, that's it. So I'm poor, right? But if the water would last forever, and if the pot of noodles would last forever, like in the story of the Isha Shunamis and that pot of oil, just poor forever. So the Isha Shunamis, who was very poor, became very rich. Because it lasts forever. And there's a different way of looking at the letter Taf and looking at Misa, looking at death. A way which is much more in tune with the Alter Rebbe's response to that evil person, and much less in tune with the response of Esav to Yaakov's gift of Yesh Li Rav, I have a lot. Rav Avram Shor writes, Yesh Taf Sheba Mitzad Kochel Shel Esav HaRasha. This piece is the piece that really set me off on this journey to try to understand the letter Taf. There's a Taf that comes from the side of the Kochos of Esav HaRasha, Vahu Taf HaShayech L'Misa. This is a Taf which is connected to the world of death. And like it says by Esav, Anochi Holech Lamos. And there's a Taf of Chaim, Shehu Bechinas, Yaakov Avinu Lomes, Koach Esav Arashu, Arba Meos Ish Imo, you see everything that we've been talking about coming together. V'Isa Besvarm Sha Arba Meos Zeh, Koach Shal Esav Shehu Ra Ayin. Esav comes with this concept of Ra Ayin, everything he sees is worth nothing because he's attached to the world of Tuf, of Misa, and that nothing lasts. Everything looks horrible because nothing lasts. Ra Ayin is Gematria 400. But what does Taf also mean? Taf is the last letter in the Aleph Beis. Taf means I came to the end of something. I'm finished. I don't need any more. I'm happy with what I have. I'm estapik b'muat. Because what I have is forever. What I have, I could connect to the eternal. And therefore, Yaakov Vinu says, Yesh li kol, I have everything, which is also the same gematria as 400. That Yaakov counters the 400 men of Esav with this feeling of Yesh li kol, I have everything I could possibly need, because everything Hashem gives me is exactly what I need. And he's mevatel, the ayin ra of Esav HaRasha. The way of Misa, looking at the world and saying, everything is going to end, so I might as well live it up, is countered by this feeling that it's true. This world, the Alma D'Shikra, ends at some point. But there's an Olam HaEmes that's beyond this world. And everything that we do in this world, from the simplest thing to the most exalted, can become eternal if we connect it to the eternal world, to the world of truth. But how does a person do that? How does a person connect himself to that world of the eternal truth? How do we become a Yaakov Avinu Lomes? How do we turn our entire life into one unending flow of Avodas Hashem and not another experience that I have for the moment, but then fades away into the death of an experience of the past? So there's a remarkable insight from a man who preferred to be called Mr. Irving Bunim. He was a very close friend, a confidant of Rav Aaron Cutler.
My great-grandfather.
And your great-grandfather, apparently. Welcome to the share.
And it was his yahrzeit today.
Rav Aaron Cutler's yahrzeit, yeah.
Yeah, he's my great-grandfather.
Oh, Rav Aaron Cutler's your great-grandfather. Ah, I thought Mr. Irving Bunim was your great-grandfather. I would call him Rav Irving Bunim. Maybe he heard this from your great-grandfather, this teaching. So they were very, very close. They were very dear friends. And he explained the Gemara that we're about to read in the following way. Listen to this Gemara. Amar of Shimon ben Lakish, the Olam Yargus. You know what? I can't do this yet. It's your great-grandfather. I have to say it. I had it in the shir before, and then I took it out, but I have to say it because it's your great-grandfather. There's a famous Torah from Varan Cutler. that he explained. The Gemara says in Megillah and in Erevin, Haman min HaTorah minayan. Where is there a hint to Haman in the Torah? The pasuk says, Haman is hinted to in the very beginning of the Torah, Hamin ha'etz. Haman, of course, is the great-great-grandson of Esav. Hamin ha'etz. What's the limud? Why is Haman Hamin ha'etz? Is it just a cute play on words? Hamin, hey, memnun. Hamin ha'etz. From that tree that I told you not to eat from, you ate from it. Adon. So, of course, Haman, he made the big tree to hang Mordechai on. But the saintly Rav Aaron Cutler is the Chassidin Aleinu, it's Neshama should have an Aliyah. Rav Aaron Cutler explained that Haman suffered from the very same thing that Adam suffered from. Haman had everything, but it was worth nothing to him, because he was a descendant of Esav. And he saw the world as Shav, because he was attached to that world of Misa. That on their level, which we could never be Masig, Adam and Chav brought into the world. And that Misa came into the world because we ate the one thing that we couldn't have. Hashem said you can have everything except one thing. And it wasn't enough. And Esav, as we saw, suffered from that same thing. And Haman, of course, had mamish everything except there was just one Jew, Mordechai, who wouldn't bow down to him. And because of that, he lost everything. Because he couldn't be mistapik b'muat. Forget about being mistapik b'muat. He couldn't be mistapik b'harbe. Couldn't be mistopic with everything but one small thing, because if you're not connected to the Alma de Kushta, if you're not connected to the Alma de Emes, then everything you have is worthless. It's shav. It's worthless. So now the Gemara. So Rav Shimon ben Lakish. Rish Lakish taught, La'olam yargiz adam yetzer tov al yetzer hara. The person has a yetzer tov and a yetzer hara. His own personal Esav and Yaakov fighting inside of him, just like Rivka. And a person should always try to preemptive strike the Yetzer Tov against the Yetzer Hara. Because if that works, then great. But if it doesn't, then you should be Yasuk B'Torah, you should learn Torah. If that works, then great. But if that doesn't work, so then recite Kriyat Shema, B'Makabal O Malchus Shemayim. And if that works, great. But if not, so then you should think about your own death. Think about the Yom HaDemisa. Think about the day of death. See, a very different thing happens when a Jew, when a Yaakov Avinu, thinks about the day of death. Esav thinks about the day of death, and it becomes Ochel V'Shosa Kimachar Namos. When a Yaakov thinks about the day of death, something very different happens. So I quote from you from Mr. Irving Bunim. You don't have it in front of you. When a human being considers his ultimate end, he loses all appetite for sin. These three methods of internal warfare are alluded to in the verse, Rabos machshavos b'lev ish, v'atzas Hashem hi takum. This last word comprises the three letters of the three terms Torah, Kriyashma, v'misa. Takum. Hashem's etzah to a person is Torah. If that doesn't work, then be makabel machshavim with kriyat shema. And if that doesn't work, then think of misa, of death. Listen to this. Many diverse thoughts may run rampant in the heart of man, but the counsel of the Lord can ultimately be made to hold firm with the help of takum, Torah, shema, and misa. But a question arises if one approach is the most potent medicine of all. certain to prevail against the inner drive towards evil, why waste time with lesser, weaker methods that may not work? If we know that contemplation of the day of death will cure man of his Yetzer Hara, why not turn to it immediately rather than go first to Torah and the Shema? The answer is that all three cures are related. They will take effect only, and listen carefully to this, because this is the whole point of the shir. They will take effect only if used in the proper order. If someone turns at once to thoughts of his inevitable time of dying and pays no attention first to the Torah and Shema, the results may well be nothing or even the very opposite of a cure against evil within. We know the old slogan of a person dedicated to pleasure: let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. If a man sees no future beyond the grave, then thoughts of death can lead to cynicism and complete hedonism. Within the conceptual context of Judaism, however, preceded by Torah and the Shema, when a person approaches finality, coming to the end of something, first having inculcated and suffused oneself with a life of Torah and Kabbalas Olmal Hashemayim, Avira, once we know that we live in a world of a creator and rules, we realize that ultimately we have to answer for our sins and evil deeds will have consequences in a world beyond our own. We might notice also the emphasis on the day of death. If we dwell on the day of death, the details of a person's passing away and being interred will be shocked into changing our basic thoughts and views about life. When a person approaches that emes, to know that our life is so beautiful but ultimately reaches an end, in the context of Torah and Yerushalayim, it turns every second into a precious gem, which could be used to transform temporary life into eternal life. It's hard to believe, but the Medrash says that in the Torah of Rabbi Meir, they found that it was written that the world is Tov Ma'od. Instead of Tov Ma'od, in his Torah it said, and Hashem saw that the world was Tov Maves, that death was good for the world. How can death be good? How can finality be good? Everybody knows that when your teacher says pencils down, and when the shot clock runs out, and when the big shot clock of life runs out, that's a terrible thing. But death is redeemed by MS, by knowing that there's something beyond this world, which makes every second in this world an opportunity to build your own eternity. Tov Maves. And so when a person comes to this teaching, if a person doesn't leave this world with half of the taivos in his hand, so we come to the words of the saintly Maorei Naim, from Nachum Nachum of Chernobyl, who explained that when we say Ein Adam Meis V'Chatzi Tavos Abiyado, Yeshlo Manu Mevakish Masayim, Yeshlo Masayim Mevakish Arba Meos, we referenced this a little bit before. Lama Harichu Ad Shamidu Al Arba Meos, why do we need to go all the way to 400? Because contemplating the letter Tav, reminds us of the Alma de Emes. It reminds us of the finality of this temporary world, and that there's something eternal beyond it. And it helps us to be Yaakov Avinu type of Yidden, who know that Yesh Li Kol, that in this one second, in this one moment, in this one cup of water, in this one conversation with another human being, in this one step, I can earn Alma de Emes. Yesh Li Kol, I have everything that I could possibly need. Because in this moment, I can earn eternity. Lama harichu ad shamidu al arba meos, ela leida ol adia shakol hachishek sha'adam evakesh hu ha'arba meos almen. Because the 400, this yearning that a person has for endless amounts of physical, is a nefesh shalot yimaleh, is a soul that can never be filled. Because the soul really wants to be filled with this mystical concept of the 400 worlds, the Arba Meos Almin Hanizkar Le'el, V'lachem k'siv arba meos shekel kesef over la socher. When Avram Avinu buys the first place of burial for a Jew, and he makes the claim that even though a person leaves the world, why do you need a place of burial? The person's gone. Because we believe in Tchias HaMesim, because we believe there's something beyond there. So Avram Avinu buys that place which speaks to the eternality of a Jew after they leave the world. With 400 shekel. To say that tough is the end, but it's an end which reminds us that every second we could build the eternity that's beyond the end. That's what the Zohar says in another context, that the tough, the shape of the letter tough, is it's the end, but the stick of the letter tough is kind of sticking out, being mamshech itself. It's a foot that's going forward. When you reach the end, you wouldn't expect there to be a foot that's going forward. But the tough is at the same time saying it's the end, but is secretly telling us that there's MS beyond the Misa. That in a certain way, if a person comes to the letter tough, and like my daughter always does when she says the Aleph, as soon as she finishes, she just starts right over again. So when you come to the mace of the letter tough, and then you go back to Aleph, you have MS. You have Mem tough, you have the Misa of the letter tough. And when you can join that back to the beginning, and you realize that everything that I really wanted is the whole time is the Alufa Shalom. The only thing that I wanted the whole time was just the Aleph, I just wanted Hashem. All of that physical drive, the Nefesh Lo Timaleh, which can't be filled with a million pizza stores. It can't be filled with a million physical pleasures, because the Nefesh Lo Timaleh just wants to be back in the father's home. It's like the princess who just wants to be back in her father's home, or wants to be married to a prince, to a king. So Rabbi Nachman explained so beautifully. Ein adam meis v'chatzi tavoso biyada. A person doesn't die with half of his tavos in his hand. Let's listen to this teaching from Rabbi Nachman. For the tzaddik, there's no difference between being alive in this world and being after this world. Because after the person's already gone from the world, he's also serving God. A person who, once he leaves this world, can no longer engage in eating and drinking, because that's what he's alive for. We could say about that person that they're really dead, because there is no eating and drinking once you're out of this world. But the tzaddik who just lives to serve God, he could serve God in this world, he could serve God in the next world. Yesh yamim shehutra achila v'shtia. There are some days where we're allowed to eat and drink. Not only we're allowed, Rabbi Nachman saying, but we're commanded to eat and drink. As Chazal tell us that on Yom Tovim, Chatzi LaHashem v'Chatzi Lachem. There's half of the Yom Tov which is for Hashem, and half of the Yom Tov which is for ourselves. We sit in a sukkah, we shake lulav and esrog, we blow shofar, we daven a little extra, and we eat meat and drink wine. Those two parts are the Chatzi LaHashem and the Chatzi Lachem. But the tzaddik, listen carefully. But the tzaddik is the one who even the eating and drinking that he does on Yom Tov, and even the eating and drinking that he does not on Yom Tov, the part of his life which is the chatzi lachem, so to speak, that I eat so that I can continue to live, so that I can continue to serve Hashem. The chatzi lachem part, so that I can continue to do my chatzi lachem. If I'm living right, that chatzi lachem part can also become for Hashem. Because I realize that in every, as I said before, in every glass of water, in every sufganiya that I eat during the month of Kislev, I could taste the eternity of Hashem. V'zeu v'chatzi tavaso biyado. Afilu zos hachetzi shehuter lo. You hear the teaching from Nachman? What does it mean, chatzi tavaso biyado? It means the half, that taiva, which is the half, the chatzi lachem, which you're entitled to. He has it biyado, he's totally in control of it. and he uses it only to serve God as well. Afilu bezehu ochis tavas abiyadu. He holds the tavas in him, and he's the master over it. He looks at tough. He looks at finality of this world. When a person looks at that, when he or she looks at finality in this world, and says, "I'm going to use that to control and to be mistapik b'mur and to be a master over the taiva, which is even entitled to me, the chatzi lachem, bevadai ze ein mes," then the person can never die. Ela tamid chai, the person continues to live afilu achar misa, because there's no chilek. While he's alive, he serves God. After he's alive, he serves God. And this is the secret of what it means. Ein adam meis v'chatzi tavas abiyadam. Not a person never dies having half the taivos in his hand. It means ein adam meis. A person will not die if chatzi tavas abiyadam. If even the part of this world which seems to be detached from God is in his hand, is under his control. A person who lives the life of Yaakov Avinu, who knows that every pot, every little pan is worth going back over the river to save. Which the Sfarim says, the Pach Shemen of Chanukah. That some little pot of oil, a little Pach Shemen, a little something that's nothing, that should be worth nothing, Yaakov Avinu goes back to save it because he realizes that every single thing that he has is a piece of the eternity that Hashem is granting him. It's the difference between Emes and Mes. It's the difference between Sheker, the Sheker of Esav, and the Emes of Yaakov. So we have a tradition in our religion that we never finish a mesechta without starting the next one right away. You shouldn't finish something and then not start it right away, because as we learned from the Zohar, finality is evocative of the notion of something which is too final. That a person should immediately start the next project right away. So the next 2 weeks, Bez Hashem, I'll be here, I hope, but it's possible that the next 2 weeks I have a ticket to go to America to go do some recruiting for the yeshiva, so the next 2 weeks we won't be together, but after that, Mirtz Hashem, we'll start the next sugya, so we should start it now. And we'll try to bridge the two together. Pasuk says, Emes me'eretz titzmach. Truth sprouts up from the land. Emes me'eretz titzmach. When a person comes to this misa, the finality of the letter Tav, and reconnects it back to the Aleph, because it's never really over. Connects back to the Alufo Shel Olam. And you come to that place of Emes. Emes me'eretz titzmach. We refuse to stop at the finality of the letter Tav. But we move from the finality of the letter Tav, which teaches us how to be emistic, like the Gemara in Shabbos says, Tav Emes. So if we really want to understand what truth is, so then Eretz is the place where truth sprouts from. And Eretz is Eretz Yisrael. Emes me Eretz titzmach. And in a certain way, just like, well, not trying to be overly dramatic, but a certain way, in the same way that Yaakov Avinu has to leave Eretz Yisrael to then really find out what it's all about, so I'm going to leave for a few weeks to go find out what Eretz Yisrael is really all about. But the whole inyan of Eretz Yisrael is the inyan of Emes. What that means in Mirtz Hashem, we'll have to find out in a few weeks from now. But Hashem should help us that the words that we've said here in this Chabura together, he should put his stamp of MS on them, that hopefully we said something which is true. And that the MS of the letters of the Aleph Beis, the Aleph, the Mem, the Tav, from the beginning to the middle to the end, should help us, we daven, that since we just opened up the Sugya, that's a little sneak peek, that's what we'll be talking about, MS, Me'eretz Titzmach, what that means, the truth sprouts from the land of Eretz Yisrael. So, Hashem should bless us that the emes that we found by studying the Aleph Beis, Kushta Koi, that truth should stand by us and should stand by all of the Jewish people, B'Shem Kol Yisrael. individually and nationally, and it should give us the koach, the strength, and Mitzvah Hashem, to continue forward and to try to understand what this remarkable land that we have the crazy zchus of living in and studying in is all about. Hashem should help us.
Thank you.